we lived like really quite far out of Sydney, and there was one radio station, but I could rarely sort of get it, and I had to stand up on top of the bed, then climb onto this sort of cabinet and hold this radio at a certain position, and it would tune in for usually 10 minutes. And so I'd either hear like Salt and Pepper, B-52s, or ABBA. They were very popular in Australia. So it was really, and it was the first time that I heard rap, and it was just, it just blew me away. Again, this energy. Yeah, I was really after women's voices, because Australia, I mean, still is, it's quite a difficult country, especially, there was a lot of weird stuff going on in the 70s. So it was really liberating to hear this song for me. It like what you said, it gives you this release that you can imagine that there's another, a different kind of world out there that you want to be part of. And you want to sing that world sort of thing, yeah. So, but I found that really interesting when you shared that article, because everybody thinks it's about sex or something, and it's just like, no, they're just like really dancing in a really powerful way and feeling just great without having to, you know, why would it have to be about sex? It's just, that's so boring. I think Melissa and I realised at some point as well, with Chicks on Speed, it's like, you can stop, but actually this thing is much bigger than you, that you can't stop, because it's actually really important for, say, young women, society, just feminist voices, and for continuing on the feminist project in music. And we're links in that chain, just like the Slits carrying on to Bikini Kill, carrying on to Chicks on Speed, carrying on to whoever it may be. So I think, as artists, all of us, something becomes bigger than what you are, and you sort of become the bearer, the responsible, and it's quite an amazing thing, but it's also a lot of pressure, you know. And I think, so I noticed in their discography, they had 2 years off, or 4 years, and then they went back, and they're playing all over the world again.
So,
yeah. And doing it in their own way, without this whole thing of having to be sexy or something, you know.
Yeah. Because
I think we hit that time when they told us the worst band in the world, and then we thought, okay, that must be really good. And
so, because we work in different genres, we have the advantage of shape-shifting, and going from a stage, festival stage, into a museum or into a academy or into, for example, making a label or thinking about copyright and working with blockchain or going into tech and building things, getting into actually being more of an entrepreneur, inventor, being more into exhibitions and or getting into theater and performing on a theater stage and building video pieces, installations, sound sculptures.
Yeah, and understanding that the voice that we have, which is sort of this celebration of this imperfect or non-virtuosic, that it's actually really needed. So whatever it might be that we endeavor to do, there's a space for us, and I found that sort of interesting, that you just have to crack in there and then go in the back door, like we've gone in the back door of many museums. And that was the way to do it somehow, by being in sort of an art band. You could go in the back door of the museum, because not many people were doing it at the time, and even still. But so it's just more like filling that space, or just taking a little bit of space with that voice of celebrating this, you know, different aesthetic that a lot of people are actually craving for. So there's always a little bit of space there to do that, and not to have to wait until, say, the curator invites you or something like that. Yeah, like what Melissa's saying with the artistic entrepreneurship side, that you look at and seek out opportunities and take space. We'll be right back.
That was the Delta 5.
Mind your own business.
Mind your own business.